Let your word move in power. Let what's dead come to life. We are here for you. We are here for you. You, our hearts are open, nothing here is hidden. You are our one desire. You alone are holy, only you are worthy, God. Let your fire fall down, 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 down. We welcome you with praise, we welcome you with praise. Almighty God of love, be welcomed in this place. Let every heart adore, let every soul awake. Almighty God of love, be welcomed in this place. We welcome you with praise, we welcome you with praise. Almighty God of love, be welcomed in this place.
Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to worship at Abiding Love. Turn to somebody next to you and tell them, glad you were able to swim in today. It's good to be with you in this place of peace. If you're visiting with us, there are some books that'll make their way up and down our rows. If you would, please give us some contact information on you so we can continue to greet you in the time to come. We are on the fifth Sunday of Lent, focusing in a new leg of our wilderness journey. And this one in particular has to do with what has been termed the dark night of the soul. It's the deepest part of the desert. It's a place of the unmaking and remaking that goes on in the wilderness journey. So we look forward to exploring that in our worship today. But as we start out, we take the opportunity to level ourselves with one another and with God. So I invite you to stand as you are able. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who forgives all our sin, whose mercy endures forever. Amen. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Pray with me. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, for mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Hear the good news this day. God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin, and made us alive together with Christ. By grace, we have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, our sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen us with power through your Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in our hearts through faith. Amen.
Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, your perfect love is casting out fear. And even when I'm caught in the middle of the storms of this life, I won't turn back, I know you are near. I will fear no evil, for my God is with me. And if my God is with me, whom then shall I fear? Whom then shall I fear? Oh, no He never let go. Through the calm and through the storm, oh no, He never let go. Every high and every low, oh no, You never let go. Lord, You never let go of me now. And I can see a light that is coming for the heart that holds on. A glorious light beyond all compare. And there will be an end to these troubles, but until that day comes, we'll live to know You here on the earth. I will fear no evil, for my God is with me. And if my God is with me, whom then shall I fear? Whom then shall I fear? Oh no, You never let go. Through the calm and through the storm, oh no, You never let go. In every high and every low, oh no, You never let go. Lord, You never let go of me now. Yes, I can see a light that is coming for the heart that holds on. There will be an end to these troubles, but until that day comes, still I will praise You, still I will praise You. Singing, oh no, You never let go. Through the calm and through the storm, oh no, You never let go. In every high and every low, oh no, You never let go. Lord, You never let go of me now.
Y'all go ahead and have a seat.
Blessed be Your name in the land that is plentiful, where Your streams of abundance flow. Blessed be Your name. Blessed be Your name when I'm found in the desert place, though I walk through the wilderness. Blessed be Your name. Every blessing You pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be Your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be Your glorious name. Blessed be Your name. The sun shining down on me when the world's all as it should be. Blessed be Your name. Blessed be Your name. A road marked with suffering, though there's pain in the offering, blessed be Your name. Every blessing You pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be Your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be Your glorious name. You give and take away. and take away. My heart will choose to say, blessed be your name. You give and take away. You give and take away. My heart will choose to say, blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name.
The grace of Jesus Christ, our Savior, the reconciling love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. God of compassion and grace, be with us in times of spiritual desert and isolation. Be our guide and our salvation, and lead us forth into the light once more. Amen. We continue with our readings.
A reading from Genesis. The same night he got up and took his two wives, his two maids, and his 11 children, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream, and likewise everything that he had. Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he struck him on the hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the day is breaking." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." So he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." Then the man said, "You shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with humans and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." But he said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life is preserved." The sun rose upon him as he passed Peniel, limping because of his hip. Therefore, to this day, the Israelites do not eat the thigh meat that is on the hip socket, because he struck Jacob on the hip socket at the thigh muscle. And the word was with God. Psalm 88 will be read responsively. O Lord, God of my salvation, when at night I cry out in your presence, for my soul is full of troubles, and my life draws near to Sheol. Like those forsaken among the dead, like the slain that lie in the grave, like those whom you remember no more, for they are cut off from your hand. But I, O Lord, cry out to you. In the morning, my prayer comes before you.
Lord, why do you cast me off? Why do you hide your face from me?
A reading from Acts. Meanwhile, Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any who belonged to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now as he was going along and approaching Damascus, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" He asked, "Who are you, Lord?" The reply came, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But get up and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do." The men who were traveling with him stood speechless because they heard the voice but saw no one. Saul got up from the ground, and though his eyes were open, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. For 3 days he was without sight and neither ate nor drank. And the word was with God. Please stand as you're able for the gospel.
Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 26th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Then Jesus went to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be grieved, agitated. He said to them, "I am deeply grieved, even to death. Remain here and stay awake with me." And going a little farther, he threw himself on the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not what I want, but what you want." And then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping, and he said to Peter, "So could you not stay awake with me 1 hour? Stay awake and pray that you may not come into the time of trial. The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak." And again, he went away for the second time and prayed, "My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done." Again, he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So leaving them again, he went away and prayed for the third time, saying the same words. Then he came to the disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? See, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. I invite you to be seated. I invite our young'uns to come up.
We are marching in the light of God. We are marching in the light of God.
Awesome.
We are marching.
Good to see everybody.
In the light of God. We are marching in the light of God.
You like this song?
We are marching,
marching.
We are marching. Oh, we are marching in the light of God.
There you go.
We are marching,
marching,
we are marching, oh, we are marching in the light of God.
Thank you for coming up and being a part of worship today. It's such a blessing to have you here. Like little minnows, you swam into church today through all of the storm and the water. It's good to be with you. This business of being with, though, is a part of our focus in worship today. And we're actually going to be talking about some times when people, even Jesus himself, has felt like God was far away, like God was nowhere to be found in some cases. And I like to sing songs, and I like to sing songs that remind me of how good God is, how good this God of grace and love and compassion that wants to spend all of God's time with us is. And so I like this song in particular. It's one of those songs where I sing some words and you sing them after. You want to give it a try? Starts out with, "I want to walk. I want to walk. I want to walk with Jesus. With Jesus. I want to serve like Jesus. I want to follow. I want to follow Jesus. Jesus, teach me to love like him. That's a song that can go with you anywhere. It's a totally portable song. You can sing it any time and place. And it will remind us of this one that God sends, this gift from God that is Jesus, whom we can follow, and he can show us the way to live as God has us to live. And we can learn from him, and we can see in him that love that comes to us from God. So I just, when I'm walking around, and I'm thinking like God may be at a distance, I want to walk with Jesus. I want to learn from Jesus. I want to follow, Jesus. Jesus, teach me to love, like him. Me to love like him. There's a little song you can take with you for the day. Blessings to you. Thank you for coming up. We're going to talk a little bit more about this business of being with God and God with us. So stay tuned, but you can go back and sit with your folks now if you want. Blessings. We love you. God loves you. You know, it's an interesting comment on today's focus. When I came in early this morning, I got all the doors unlocked and I got all the lights on. And I was back in my office. I was just going to sit down and kind of review notes for this morning. And boom, this big loud thunderclap comes and the whole place goes pitch dark from stem to stern. So I had my phone out, finding my way in the darkness. And a little while later, half of the lights came back on. I do not know how this happened, but half of the lights in the church came on. That end of the building stayed off. And I knew that something had happened because as I was sitting in my office, I realized that my printer had come back on. Nothing else in the room had, just my printer. Then my fan came on, but no lights. Same situation up and down the building. We had lights in the hallway, but no lights in the bathroom. I thought, oh boy, that's going to be good. But it struck me that in the midst of talking about this aspect of the wilderness journey, maybe the most pivotal part of this whole wilderness journey that we've been on, darkness is such a feature, and today, total darkness descended on the place. It was perfect. God is so good. But it is indeed this part of the journey that we want to talk about today. And it is that place where the actual reconfiguring of us happens, this $5 word transformation takes place. Because we know that that's a function of the wilderness journey. It is not to leave us where we began. It is to take us on a roundabout way, as God describes. But it is also to bring us to a new place. And there is a point within, arguably in the depths of the desert, at the deepest place of this symbolic, metaphorical wilderness journey that we've been tracing, where that remaking takes place. And this has been marked as a part of the Christian spiritual journey for as long as there's been journeying Christians. It's been marked as a part of the human experience for as long as we've been humans. And it came to have a name in the medieval period after the works of people like St. John of the Cross and St. Teresa of Avila. It became called the dark night of the soul. And we've wrestled a little bit today in first service and even in our time between the services in understanding really what's meant by that and what kind of experience is being talked about here. But the thing that keeps recurring to me is I've experienced it time and time again, and perhaps you have as well. It is that place. It is the pivotal part of the wilderness journey. We know that an unmaking and a remaking takes place, and this is the place that's been identified for that experience, the dark night. This is not darkness, as darkness comes to have this connotation of evil or wickedness. And have you heard that? Have you understood that? That darkness can have this connotation, the dark arts, right? It's not talking about darkness as evil or wickedness in any way. It's talking about darkness more in a sense of not being able to see ahead, not being able to clearly focus on what is coming. It's a place where what has been is now gone or being removed, but what is to come has not yet arrived. It is that place of tension in life, and I believe that you've experienced this. In fact, I'm almost sure you have. It's often attended with this idea that I can't go back, and I don't know where forward is, and I seem to be caught in this dark night, this place of unawareness, this place of unmaking, of not understanding, hoping that what's forward will be revealed with clarity, but still being in the tension of that place. And I don't know about you, but I have a problem with tension. I like resolution. We get it in music. We get these wonderful points of tension, and then we have these beautiful resolves that come out of it. I'm always about the resolve. Let's get on with that. But the place of the dark night is a place where we have to labor a little bit. And the stories of the dark night are throughout Scripture, from beginning to end. We have Adam and Eve hiding from God in the garden. We have Moses at odds with this calling that God has given him to lead this fractious people, not feeling that he's got the ability to do it, not feeling that he's got the ability to not do it, and seeing, feeling the glow of God's presence fading from his face. We hear it in our story about Jacob today. Jacob wrestles all night. This is characteristic of the dark night, as it's described in these medieval writings, and as I've experienced. It's a place of frustration and exertion and anxiety. It is Jacob wrestling all night with, Scripture says, a man. And I've heard this reflected on all kinds of ways. Who is this man that Jacob is compelled to wrestle with all night? Some people say it is the Son of Man. Some people say it's the pre-configured Christ. Some people say it's God. Some people say it's a demon. Some people say it's an angel. And I think one of the things that bears looking at is the possibility that maybe this one that Jacob is wrestling with all night is Jacob himself. In the midst of this place of indeterminance, indecision, a place where what is old is already going away and what is new has not yet come. Saul experiences the dark night. Saul experiences this in our reading today. Totally convicted of his calling as the inquisitor of this new Christian movement, totally committed to rooting it out wherever it is. He is on a mission from God with a vengeance. And on the Damascus Road, he is completely knocked flat. And he languishes for days, literally blinded by the experience. He can't see forward. He can't go back, and yet there is no way ahead, until he's ministered to by one of the very ones he comes to destroy. And suddenly, a new vista and a new opportunity and a new identity is opened up for him. Very instructive about the dark night. The dark night is not punishment. It's not anxiety and struggle for the sake of anxiety and struggle. It's deeply purposeful. Many, many stories. Jesus himself in Gethsemane, in the dark night after his final supper, if he even knows, with his disciples. And he agonizes in Gethsemane. Oh, Lord, if there was another way, let it be. He's at odds with what he is called to do, and yet he knows that to refuse the call is sheer impossibility. Jesus himself experiences the dark night. It's also characterized often by a sense of God's absence. It seems at the very time we need God the most, I need answers, I need guidance, I need direction, I need light in this darkness, I need. And yet, there doesn't seem to come that sense, that inspiration, that response. there's this profound sense that God has left the building, that God is absent. We hear it in the voices of the psalmists. I think we hear that poignantly. One of the gifts of Hebrew Testament to us is the Psalter, the collection of psalms that give this marvelous, poignant voice to the longing that comes from this. We hear it in our psalm today. You have put me in the depths of the pit, in the regions dark and deep. But, O Lord, I cry out to you in the morning. My prayer comes before you. Why do you cast me off? Why do you hide your face from me? The deep anxiety of a sense of God's absence that plagues this singer, this prayer. We long for that place in blessing where we say, may God make his face shine on you and be gracious unto you. And yet here is one who so profoundly feels the absence of that presence. Why, O Lord, in another Psalm 10, why, O Lord, do you stand so far off? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? God, when I need you right here and now, I look and I don't feel that I can find you. How long, O Lord, how long will you hide your face from me? Sometimes the dark night can be a place that is protracted. It's not just an overnight. And it's not just a one-off, a one and done. The dark night seems to come at different times, at different points in life. Sometimes we're thrust into it by circumstances. Sometimes we go there when we're appointed, making significant, substantial changes in our lives. We feel a new sense of calling, perhaps. I regard the times that I wrestled with a new sense of vocation that was emerging for me out of 18, 19 years of business operations, marketing management, things that I was doing, that I was at one time very compelled by, and over a period of years began to absolutely lose any kind of savor or satisfaction for me. The things that had been the most driving and compelling forces in my working life absolutely went flat and tepid for me, and I began to be captive of nothing other than the work of the church. I knew that somehow there was a place for me there. There was some direction for me there. Had no idea what it was, let alone how to prepare for it or how to take action. All I knew is that everything that had meant something to me in my working life before no longer did. And the only thing that was really compelling to me was the work of the church. I got involved in my church, in the synod, in the national organization, and in the global missions of Lutheran Church. I was am and will be born and raised genetic Lutheran, so there was no question about that. But how to put wheels on this sense of calling to ministry as a vocation that was emerging for me over several years, periods of dark night, as I thought about, yeah, great, Brad, you've got two daughters coming up that are going to be going to college, you've got a wife and a family that are depending on you, and you're going to stop in the midst of that somehow and retool and declare for ordained pastoral ministry. How's that going to work? And yet, in the midst of those dark nights, and they are dark nights, they are. It's very aptly named because it's at 2:30 and 3 o'clock and 4 o'clock in the morning when you wake up and think about this stuff, right? Can't have a good productive day thinking about it and troubleshooting it and working through. No, this has to hit you right when you're trying to sleep. F. Scott Fitzgerald, one of the most brilliant things ever said about the dark night. He said, in the long dark night of the soul, it is always 3 o'clock in the morning. Been there? Begin to connect with where this is and where you are in the midst of these kind of experiences? And they have these wonderful outcomes, but they're very threshold experiences. Now let's talk for just a second about what they're not, because it's really important that we not confuse them with other things. One, these are not just places of depression. Okay? They can have depressive feelings that come along with them, almost kind of naturally. But depression is a very real thing. Depression is a real, diagnosable, and treatable condition. And we need to be very careful about mistaking something that has us temporarily out of sorts or at odds, even in a deep way, with a clinically diagnosable disease that is deadly. And we need to be very careful about those divisions, those distinctions. Another thing that this is not, it's not traumatic stress disorder. Sometimes it is trauma that pushes us into these places. Sometimes it's harsh circumstances in life that bring us into this dark night experience. But post-traumatic stress disorder is a very real, diagnosable, and treatable thing, but left untreated is far too deadly, far too often in our culture. So there are distinct pathological, clinical things that we're not talking about here. This has more to do with transitional places in life. I liken it to the shedding of skin. A snake sheds its skin. Can you imagine what that feels like? When suddenly you shrink within your former exterior and you begin to emerge from it, leaving it behind and emerging reborn in a very real sense, fresh, new in distinct ways, even though it's still you. I think of the dark night in those ways. I think about what that's like when you suddenly begin to realize at 3:00 in the morning, oh my God, I'm shedding my skin. That's what it's felt like to me, to wrestle in these places. I think that's what it felt like for Jacob and for Saul and for Jesus. And this profound sense of God's absence in that time, I do not understand. Luther wrestled with this mightily. He called it Deus absconditus, the hidden face of God. God, why do you hide your face from me? Especially in my time of distress, when I need you the most, you are absent. You are hidden in the midst of the world. Deus absconditus. Mother Teresa, as we came to understand from her letters published after her death, wrestled with this hiddenness of God all her life. She confessed that her life from 1948 until 1975 with her death was almost what she described as a continuous place of dark night, with relatively few and brief periods of relief from that ongoing existential struggle that she found herself in. Protracted. Not one and done. Dark nights come. And at the time that we think we need God the most, he seems to be absent. And Jesus is not immune from this. I believe that we hear him pray from the cross. Psalm 22, I think it is that embedded in his tradition. I think it's that much a part of him that in that moment of abject despair, he cries out from the cross, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Here is Jesus up close, face to face, with a sense of God's absence. At the time, one would argue, God would be most needed. It happens to us, and it happens to Jesus. But there is good news in this. As in the case of all threshold experiences, it leads somewhere. It comes from the dark night, from the tenebrae of Good Friday, to the glory of the resurrection morning. It comes from the place where there is no back and there is no forward, to a place of clarity for Paul that takes him around the world, telling the story of his dark night. It's the best evangelism he has. And it's the story he tells most frequently in Scripture about when he found himself at odds and distanced from God. And it can be our story as well. It was a Jewish executive recruiter that became an angel in my life. Not that there's anything here or there about him being Jewish, but it was a Jewish executive recruiter that's primarily responsible for my ordination as a Lutheran pastor. Because in going to see him at the encouragement of some friends of mine who said, "Oh, don't throw away your career. We're just getting to where we want to be. We're just getting to where we can take the projects we want and not take the projects we don't want. You can do your religious stuff in your spare time, they said, not knowing that this was no longer a spare time consideration for me. But this executive recruiter that I went to see told me that there was a big church down in Austin, Texas, that needed an operations director for its media ministry, and that I could do the kind of things they needed done. And there's a Lutheran seminary in Austin, Texas. And the walls went away, and light shined once again, and a pathway forward emerged. And here I am. The dark night leads somewhere. As excruciating as the unmaking and the remaking can be, it is purposeful. A guy I read a lot, Joseph Campbell, who studied dark night as a phenomenon, not only in Christian religion, but on other faith traditions and spiritualities as well. It's everywhere. It's a universal experience. The dark night of the soul comes just before revelation, he writes. When everything is lost and all seems darkness, then comes the new life and all that is needed for it. Brilliant, profound. Reminds me, it's always darkest just before the dawn. An old adage, but nonetheless true. The dark night takes place in that liminal space between night and day, when it's no longer night, but day hasn't yet come. And God and the presence of God, only to discover, all the more vitally present, maybe not visible or palpable because so very close, closer than breathing, as St. John of the Cross described it. Luther, God's entire divine nature is wholly and entirely in all creatures, all the time, more deeply, more inwardly, more present than the creature is to itself. Jacob refuses to let go. He holds to his faith. It takes him all night, and he walks away wounded. But he walks away transformed and into a new name, a new identity, and a new day for the people of God. Amen.
Sometimes the night was beautiful. Sometimes the sky was so far away. Sometimes it seemed to stoop so close. You could touch it, but your heart would break. Sometimes the morning came too soon. Sometimes the day could be so hard. There was so much work left to do, so much you'd already done. Oh God, you are my God, and I will never praise you. Oh God, you are my God, and I will never praise you. I will seek you in the morning, and I will learn to walk in your ways. And step by step you'll lead me, and I will follow you all of my days.
Sometimes
Sometimes I think of Abraham, how one star he saw had been lit for me. He was a stranger in this land, not him that no less than he. And on this road to righteousness, sometimes the climb can be so steep. I may falter in my steps, never beyond your reach. Oh God, you are my God, and I will ever praise you. Oh God, you are my God, and I will ever praise you. And I will seek you in the morning, and I will learn to walk in your ways. And step by step you'll lead me, and I will follow you all of my days. And I will follow you all of my days. And I will follow you all of my days. And step by step you'll lead me, and I will follow you all of my days. Oh God, you are my God, and I will follow you all of my days. Oh God, you are my God, and I will follow you all of my days.
Please stand as you are able as we continue with our profession of faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, as a community of faith, we come together in prayer for each other and for the world. Let us pray. God of all, you are always and forever with us. You care for your children no matter their situations. You never give up on us, and we praise you for your love and faithfulness. Thank you. Hear us, O God. God of all, you never abandon your children, even in our darkest moments. Today, we pray for those who are alone or lonely. We pray for those who feel left out or unaccepted. We pray for those who feel they have nowhere to turn for help. And we pray for those whose lives have been turned upside down because of circumstances beyond their control. Lord, we ask that you put us in the paths of those who need some lightness in their dark times. Be with us and give us the words and actions that we need to be your hands and feet in this world. Hear us, O God. God of all, during times of illness or loss, we often don't know where to turn for help. Let our prayers be that first step. Today we lift up Keith Crunk and Steve Kikta, Tina Russ and Kurt Reach, Jordan Davis, Ed Vrana, Sam Collins and Danny Santos, Fred Dutton, Brad Castleberry, Kelly's mom, Francine, Diane Schoaf, Ruben, Alicia and Ruth Roberts, Uncle David, Brandon, Walid Bacon, Lisa McNeely, George Timmons, Shirley Shod, Wayne Jordan, Jerry Smock. We pray for Lori and Carl Schattenberg and all the family and friends of Lori's mom, Lois Bramble, at her passing from this life. We pray for the upper elementary kids and their sponsors traveling home from Camp Chrysalis today. May they be safe in their traveling. And we pray for the women of Abiding Love who have gathered in retreat this weekend at Camp Lone Star. May they be safe on their way home as well. And we pray for all who suffer as a result of violence and oppression, and all victims of disasters and human failings. Hear us, O God. Lord God of all, inspire the work of our partner Austin City Lutheran congregations and surrounding faith communities. Today we remember the people and mission of Salem Lutheran Church in Austin and New Life Lutheran in Dripping Springs, that the storms have not disrupted their worship service this morning. And bless the ministry of David and Alicia Brandos in Mexico City and all the people who serve with the ELCA Global Missions. Lord, empower all the people in the community of Abiding Love. Today we lift up Kurt, Gisela, and Audrey Armstrong, Christine, Stephen, Mary Margaret, and Kate Anthony, Pat and Gary Andrews, Denise and Tim Anderson, Brian, Brooke, Stella, and Phoebe Anderson. Hear us, O God. God of all, be with us and all who go through the darkness and isolation. Help us to cling to the light of Christ, leading us into a brighter day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated as we continue with our offerings.
You dwell in songs that we are singing, rising to the heavens, rising to your heart are praises, filling up the spaces in between our frailty and everything you are. You are the keeper of my heart. And I'm restless, till I rest in you, till I rest in you. I am restless, I'm restless, till I rest in you, till I rest in you, O God. I want to rest in you. Oh, speak now, for my soul is listening. Say that you have saved me. Whisper in the dark, 'cause I know you're more than my salvation. Without you I am hopeless. Tell me who you are. You are the keeper of my heart. You are the keeper of my heart. And I'm restless, till I rest in you, till I rest in you. I am restless, to a cross, still my heart, hold me close, let me hear a still small voice, let it grow, let it rise into a shout, into
Let's stand and pray together. God of the wilderness, we make these offerings in gratitude for your guidance and blessing on our way. We make these offerings in faith. We make these offerings in hope. And with these offerings, we offer ourselves. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right in all times and in all places to thank the one who meets us where we are in life, who bids us in the midst of life to come to a table of God's own preparation, and here to be fed and nourished, here to be blessed and forgiven, here to be renewed and strengthened for all that lies ahead. With all who would gather, our Lord took bread. He blessed it and gave thanks. He broke it and he shared it out with us, saying, "Take and eat. This bread is my body, broken and given for you. As often as you eat of it, do so, remembering me." In the same way, he took a cup, blessed it and gave thanks, and shared it out with us, saying, "Take and drink. This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you, for all people, for all creation, for the forgiveness of sin. Drink of it often, remembering me." And so we remember, and we pray as our Lord has taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us in the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. All who wish to meet Christ in this meal, all are welcome at this table. I invite you to be seated. I invite our musicians and communion servers forward. The ushers will guide you.
Let us break bread together on our knees. Let us break bread together on our knees. When I fall on my knees with my face to the rising sun, oh Lord, have mercy on me. Let us drink wine together on our knees. Let us drink wine together on our knees. When I fall on my knees with my face to the rising sun, oh Lord, have mercy on me. Let us praise God together on our knees. Let us praise God together on our knees. When I fall on my knees with my face to the rising sun, oh Lord, have mercy on me. Come, join the song, lift your voice, as heaven and earth give praise. Fall to your knees at the feet of the Son of the one true God. Turn from old ways, lift your eyes, for the kingdom of God is here. Open your heart, offer all, for Jesus Christ is here. We have found our hope, we have found our peace, we have found our rest in the one who loves. He will light the way, he will lead us home as we offer all to the one. The name that is whole, Jesus, the Son of God. Lord over all, he is good, and his mercy endures always. We have found our home, we have found our peace, we have found our rest in the one who loves. He will light the way, he will lead us home as we offer all to the one.
Please stand as you are able. And now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and preserve you in his grace. Amen. We have just a few announcements today. There are happenings brochures in the seat backs. Our e-news and our bulletins have all kinds of good stuff in them. Also, there's an opportunity to sign up for Easter lilies in the narthex. You can dedicate these. You can do remembrances with them. There's a lot of ways to bring lilies to our Easter celebration and do that in a meaningful way for your family. And know that our Lent Wednesday gatherings continue this coming Wednesday with dinner at 5:30 in the Activity Center, and at 7 o'clock a worship and reflection gathering here. In the midst of the darkest night, God kindles fire that shines in that darkness. God is with you always, and God will bless you and keep you. God will make his face shine on you and be gracious unto you. God will look on you with favor and grant you peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Oh my God, shine your light on us, that we might live. Oh my God, shine your light on us, that we might live. I've been holding on. I've been holding on. All that is inside me screams to come back home.
If you feel lost,
if you feel lost, if you feel lost, sing along. If you feel tired, if you feel tired, sing along. If you feel lost and tired, this is your song.
We go forth together. The peace of the Lord be with you all. Please share that peace with each other as we leave and any you meet this week.
If you feel lost.